Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well in any part of the world where you're listening to this. We carry on with our Bible study. We have been in the book of 1 Corinthians. And today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And just as a key reminder of this chapter is that Paul addresses the concerns about the resurrection. One of the key heresies that came up at that time and threatened to destroy the church was the issue that there is no resurrection of the dead. And that is why those are some of the two things that the devil fights. One, he fights the issue of resurrection. Remember, there are Sadducees who say there's no resurrection, there are no angels, and Jesus emphatically answered them that if there is no resurrection, so why do you say the God of Abraham or the God of Isaac? And he says, then you are in error, and he is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. But then that was their belief. And then sadly, this belief went on and carried on. And that is why even the scriptures speak that what is the spirit of the Antichrist? He that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That means that anyone that denies the resurrection then denies God's witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, the Christian faith is based on the premise of the resurrection. Our faith is that as Jesus died, he died for our sins. He was a sacrifice for our sins. As he died, we too died. As he was buried, we too were buried with him. And he was resurrected. We too were raised up with him into a new life. We died to our old self. We died to our flesh. We died to our human desires and sinful desires, and that sinful nature having its power over us. And when we are raised as new creations and as a new creature. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And this Christ became the first fruits from among the dead. When it says first fruits, it means that no one has come back from the dead and continued to live. I mean, yes, others in the past maybe have been raised from the dead, but when they were raised from the dead, they still died. But Jesus is the only one who was raised from the dead and did not die again. He's still alive today, and he ascended into heaven, alive as he is, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, meaning the right hand of authority, far above all principalities, all rules, all dominions, and each and every power by which he obtained, he gave it to us. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore you go. So that means the authority and dominion that is of heaven and of the earth that Jesus won on the cross when he was raised up from the dead, he did it for the church. He did it for you and me. And we are seated together with him in heavenly places, far above. The place that the believer must know their position in Christ is that they are far above. Now that anyone who has this understanding will be able to live a victorious life, will be able to know where they stay, where they survive, and from where they rule. Now, these guys in Corinth, there was a group that was trying to teach the believers that there is no resurrection from the dead. And so Paul was very categorical that, look here, Christ died according for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and was raised the third day according to the scriptures. That means that they were referring to the Old Testament. At that point, it was already spoken. It was already prophesied that the Messiah will die, will be died on the cross. Remember, Psalms already say how the Christ will die. Psalms 22, and they already speak Psalm 16, that God will not allow his Holy One to see corruption, so he will be raised from the dead. There's already prophecies that he shall be raised on the third day. And so the scriptures were the first witness. Then the second witness that Paul gives is that Christ, when he resurrected, he appeared to over 500 people at once. He appeared to the disciples, to James, you know, he appeared to the over 500 people at once, majority of whom are alive. And if the Corinthians needed witness, they can go and see them. They will testify that the risen Christ is alive. And then he also appeared to Paul himself, who he says he considers himself one born out of due time. And then he later tells them that, look here, if you guys argue, if someone wants to argue that there's no resurrection of the dead, then why are we fighting? You know, why are we struggling? Why are we being killed? Why are we facing death? Why is he fighting wild beasts in Ephesus if there is no resurrection of the dead? So his biggest concern is this: look here, there is resurrection. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then you have believed in vain. Then that means you are still in your sins. That means that you are still, you know, not forgiven. You're still going to hell. And if you're still going to hell, then you have believed in vain and your faith is in vain. So the foundation of the resurrection is very important. Anyone that does not believe in the resurrection does not believe in Christianity or does not believe in Christ. And because we know that Christ is risen, he is raised as a first fruit of a new kind, of a new order, of a new creation. And that is what we are, those that were raised, those that were born after Adam. And Adam is a slave of sin. Adam gave his authority to the devil and is defeated by the devil. Adam cannot defeat the devil, and anyone after Adam is already defeated by the devil. However, anyone that is raised up after Christ, born again, is after the order of Christ. And Christ is already victorious against the devil. He made a public spectacle of the devil triumphing over them, over the cross. He took every written code that was against us. He nailed it to a cross, to the cross, triumphantly and victoriously. And when he was raised from the dead, he declared victory over all forces of darkness. Now, anyone that is born again or born into Christ is also raised after the order of Christ. And so you become, Christ is our first fruits, and we become after that order. And then we are able to see yesterday that Christ shall reign, and the last enemy to be defeated shall be death, because death in itself too shall be thrown into the lake of fire. It's the last one. In the last judgment, it shall be thrown into the lake of fire, along with Hades, along with the devil, along with the false prophets. All this will be thrown into the lake of fire, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember, hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil, but anyone that does not believe in Christ will end up in hell with the devil. And that's why the devil is very active and he's staying there. And then there was a final, another issue where he tried to tell them that, look here, avoid such people. Bad company corrupts, or evil company corrupts good habits, or bad company corrupts good morals. So there are people who are leading you astray. Don't stay with them. Don't live with them. Leave them alone. And it tells them, be awake to righteousness. So we're able to conclude those 30, up to 34, verse 34, as of yesterday. And today we shall be looking from verse 35. And we shall be seeing the kind of body, the resurrection body. You see, one of the things the concerns the people are asking, okay, so if we're resurrecting, so what kind of bodies will we have? Or are we going to be eating? Or are we going to be married? Are we going to, you know, to their argument, they were like, there's no resurrection of the dead. Our bodies will be destroyed on the earth. And so Paul addresses the matter of the resurrection. And beyond that, he also gives us a clue of how the rapture will take place, of how the end times will take place. So let us read verse 35. The Bible says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Let me just take a pause there, and you can see the argument that Paul is very clear. Look here. He says, whenever you sow a seed to the ground, whenever you plant a seed to the ground, the body that comes out of that seed is way different from how that seed looks like. You can think of a maize seed. A maize seed is just a simple, small, round thing. Or is it oval? And when you throw it to the ground and you plant it, what comes out is a tree. Or is like a plant. You can see the stem, the green, the leaves, and the various combs that come out. So the body of the seed and the body of the plant are different. So what is sown is different from what comes out. Likewise, when we die, what we die, the body that we die with is different from the resurrection body. Now, he says that each seed is given a body as God pleases. So he's saying that even we too, when we die, when we are sown to the ground, we shall come out with a different kind of body as Christ has chosen or as God has chosen. And he says that, look here, even if you look at the animals, they are not the same. Birds are not the same. Fish are not the same. Animals are not the same. So even likewise, in the natural, we have things that are called celestial. Celestial refers to heavenly bodies. That means that the bodies of the supernatural things, the angels, the spirits, they are not the same as the bodies of humans or the terrestrial. Terrestrial is of the earth. So anything of the earth is different from the celestial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, of the heavenly bodies is one, and the glory of the earthly bodies is one. So he even says, look at even the sun. The sun and the moon have different glories. Even the stars in themselves have a unique glory. And that is telling us that when God raises us up, he will each give of us our own uniqueness. And even today, we see the uniqueness of God. We are built different. We are raised different. We are anointed differently. We do different things according to the giftings and according to the anointings of the Spirit that is upon us. And that is the beauty and majesty of God. He always is so diverse. He has given each and every one of us unique expressions. And when you understand this, you shall see there are different glories, even of the stars, they are different. And it is not right to be comparing one to another, but it is right that we serve God in truth, in holiness, in righteousness, and more importantly, in faithfulness, according to the glory or according to the wisdom that God has given us. Then that is what we are called to. So, in speaking about the resurrection, he says that this resurrection, when we die, what happens? Our body dies in corruption. That means our body is weak. Our body suffers from sickness. Our body, is failing. And this is something that we see whenever we go through sickness, whenever we are struggling in one thing or another, our bodies are sown in corruption. However, hallelujah and glory be to God, our bodies are not raised in corruption. They are raised in incorruption. That means our bodies cannot be destroyed. The heavenly bodies, the resurrection body is glorious. The resurrection body is not having any corruption. The resurrection body is one of glory, is one of power. It is one that is a spiritual body. And this is what happens in the newness of the new man. Remember, these are not just experiences that will come in the day of resurrection, but as well, we can live in certain realities today. As a new man, as a new creation, you can think of the kind of resurrected body that Jesus had. He will walk through walls. He will appear and disappear. He will be lifted. That means that there is a test. There is a foretaste of the supernatural that we too experience in our time today. We that are raised, we that are raised with Christ, we that are seated with Him in heavenly places, there is an experience of the supernatural that God gives us. It will not be the fullness of it, but there will be a taste of it. Just because we are still on the earth, yes, our bodies might still go through some sicknesses here and there. Remember, this body, this earthly body has its own glory and it shall has its corruption. But you see, there is that resurrected body that we are given. And when we receive that, it is spiritual, it is celestial, it is heavenly, and it cannot face corruption. It is indestructible, it is incorruptible. So this is what you must know, that the first man became a living being or a living soul. You know, the first man was a living soul. Adam was a living soul. But Christ, the last Adam, think of the description of Christ. He's referred to as the last Adam. God wanted to create a new kind of man on the earth. And that new kind of man is the man after Christ. This is the man that bears the image of the Lord of God. And this is the last Adam. This is Christ. Remember, anyone that is born again is made after the image of Christ. We are of the order of Christ. We are of the last Adam. You are not ordinary. When you've given your life to Jesus, you are not ordinary. You live in the supernatural. You experience the supernatural. You experience the celestial. You know, you experience the indestructible nature of the supernatural. There is the order of the last Adam. We are life-giving spirits. And that is why when you believe this, then you start to live. You start to bring life to everyone around you. You bring life to those who are in sickness. You bring life to those who are going through death. You communicate life. Why? Because you are not after the first Adam, but you are after the last Adam. Who is the last Adam? The last Adam is Christ. And God is saying today that if you believe this, then you can start to see and know the supernatural nature that God has released upon your life, the supernatural nature that God has poured upon your life. There is a supernatural that we can experience today, a foretaste of future glory. I assure you, them that see this, you will start to live in the supernatural. Supernatural is not just reserved for that final day when we resurrect, but it is for those who are of the order of the Christ. Believe it. It is for you. Believe it. It is yours. Believe it. The Bible tells us that the first man was made of dust. That means every man of Adam was made of dust. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. However, okay, let's just read verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth. He was earthly. He was dust. He was made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, is the man from above, is the heavenly man. I tell you, the man in you, the man you are in, is the man from above. You are heavenly. You are heavenly, the heavenly man, the heavenly man, the supernatural man. I pray that God will open your eyes to see this, to live this, to hear this, for your spirit to meditate on this. You will never fear. You will never fear death. You will never fear witchcraft. You will never fear sickness. You will just release life. The Bible says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, it shall give life to your mortal bodies. That life-giving spirit is a life-giving spirit that is at work in your bones, is at work in your members, it's at work in your, in everything that concerns you. That life-giving spirit brings life to relationships. It brings life to marriages, to dead marriages. It is that river that flows that brings life and life and life. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Receive life today. Receive the life-giving spirit of the second Adam, of the last Adam, of Christ. And you that believe in Christ, that man from above lives in you. You are that man from above. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and Christ is in God. What can the enemy do to you? Father, I thank you for your word that has come forth in power today. I thank you for open eyes. I thank you that scales have fallen off, that they, my brothers and sisters, receive today the benefits, the foretaste of that supernatural nature, of that healing, of that second man, of the man from above, born from above, of the heavenly man. We are not just natural, but we are raised incorruptible. We have been raised with Christ. That is why we believe in the resurrection. We died with him. We were buried with him, and we are raised with him. Our natural man was buried with him. He died with him. But now we are not natural. We are spiritual. We are supernatural. We have received the life-giving spirit. May the life-giving spirit flow in us. May it flow in our midst. May it flow in our hearts. May it flow in everything that concerns us, O God. Father, I pray for your children. May they experience this life, this day, in equal measure. You came to give us life, and life in abundance. You came to give us life, Zoe, life in abundance. Chai olam. Kura bashi idibuku akapaya karabashi ndededebo kura baya. Blessed Redeemer, breathe life on your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.